You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Listen, y'all, I know it's been a while since we have last spoke. It's been a really, really busy time for me. I know I always say that when I go away, but it really and truly has been a crazy busy time in my life. And I know that you guys have had a lot going on, too. Not to make any excuses, but it's just been wild and crazy. Look, got engaged, so just prepping and planning for those of you who don't know, did get engaged in March. So just been running around planning for wedding and stuff like that. Also, you know, just, you know, with work, a lot of additional responsibilities have been added on my plate. So just been really busy, but it's a good busy. So nothing in a negative at all. Man, a lot has happened since we, you know, were last together. But I hope everybody's been doing well. You know, I hope everybody's safe right now as well, just because weather has just been acting crazy this week. I know down in Atlanta, it's supposed to be storming. It's actually getting ready to storm as we're speaking. Literally through the rest of this entire week, even heading into next week, which right now is saying all the way until Saturday. So hopefully that clears up because, not trying to be stuck in the house all week next week. Well, really the weekend. So, we got some good stuff to talk about today. Excited about it. But first and foremost, let's catch up a little bit, man. I know, you know, some things have happened. Look, the new movie Michael came out. So if you guys can see on my screen, I'm rocking my Michael shirt right here. So, you know, for those of you who have not seen the movie, make sure you go see it. One of the best biopics that I have ever seen. Shout out to Jafar. Michael's nephew played the role extremely well. Thought I was actually looking at Michael on the actual screen. So a lot of the moves, obviously, you know, you're not gonna get everything super pinpoint accurate, but I felt like his the way that he took on the role, and as far as like dancing, acting, just even the way he sounded, like it was exceptional. So look, make sure you go see Michael if you have not. It is already blown up the box office as the highest making biopic of all time. It's one of the top selling movies of all time already. So look, continue to run those numbers up. A lot of people had some issues with the movie, you know, saying that, hey, they left this and that out of it, and they didn't touch on this and they didn't touch on that. Well, there's some reasons behind that. I will say before you jump into any conclusions, there are some things that they legally cannot talk about on the movie. So, you know, that's nothing that's out of their control. They actually had a lot more filmed for the movie, but they had to go back and take some things out. I know Diana Ross, she didn't want to be portrayed in the movie. There was a lot of, you know, things here and there that could not be discussed. So it is what it is. But look, movie is great. They ended it at the bad era for Michael. So they're already, you know, in the works to have part two. They actually already mentioned that there was a lot of scenes that were filmed for. They had enough footage to continue on. So they're going to add some more in there. So I'm excited for a part two of this. Hopefully, you know, it's longer, you know, we get even more. So they did say that there's going to be a lot more of the songs touched on, too, because I know that there were some songs that we all wish we, you know, would have heard in the movie. But they did a great job. I mean, that's, you know, I was really, really happy. I actually saw it twice. So make sure y'all go see it. But yeah, man, look. Just excited to be back and jumping in to talk about some sports. Again, I know a lot has happened since we've last come together. So let's get into it. Let's talk about what's been going on in the world of sports. Let's start with the NBA, because we did have a MVP that was announced. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, a.k.a. SGA, won his second consecutive MVP for this year. Again, this is his second consecutive one. OKC, obviously, currently in the Western Conference Finals. We see what SGA means to that team. We saw what he meant to them last year. You know, obviously, there's a lot that is being discussed around, you know, how he plays the game of basketball, how he draws fouls. You know, it's a lot of stuff out there about that. But nevertheless, you know, again, he did lead the team, the Thunder, to a 64-win season and the number one seed as well. He outlasted Jokic as well as Victor Wembanyama, a.k.a. Wimby, to win the MVP. A lot of people could argue, you know, argued to say Wimby should have gotten the MVP. Look, I wouldn't have been upset if he would have got the MVP, but, you know, ultimately it was given to SGA. Really just to highlight some of his MVP season highlights. So he did become the 14th player in NBA history and the fifth guard to win back-to-back MVP awards. And he also is the first MVP to average at least 30 points and 5 assists while shooting 55% from the field. And, you know, ahead of receiving this award, he did gift his teammates like custom suits, watches to share in the spotlight with him. So that's pretty cool of him to do that for his teammates. But yeah, you know, SGA, shout out to him, despite what, you know, people may think about him or feel about his game. He did win the MVP. So, hey, it is what it is. We continue to move forward. And, you know, that just that picture of Wimby on game one in OKC when they awarded, they were celebrating the award for SGA for MVP. You could just see in his eyes, obviously, like that bothers him that he was not named the MVP, which is a good thing. You know, that's a good thing, especially for a young player like that. You fall short in certain moments, but you utilize that as motivation heading into the game and really your career as you continue to mature, as you continue to evolve and add more into your game. Now, that's a perfect segue into talking about game one, because, again, like I said, we have the Eastern Conference Finals. We have the Western Conference Finals going on right now. So let's dive into that. Let's talk about the Western Conference Finals first. I want to take a step back because I know the series is they are on game three. The series is tied 1-1 right now as it stands. Now, let's talk about game one, because I did mention that we saw Wimby was bothered and he was, you know, visibly, I want to say upset, but just kind of taken in the moment that he was not the MVP. Now, what did he do following that? He comes out, he leads the Spurs 41 points, 24 rebounds, and a double overtime victory, 122-115. That's how you respond. That's what I mean by you. Look, you take that stuff in, you use that as motivation. Wimby was unstoppable in that game one. I mean, I watched it. I know a lot of you all were tuned in. They didn't start it on time. Obviously, you know, they don't really show us a lot of love on the East Coast when it comes to these West Coast games. And it is pretty frustrating. They say it's going to start at 8:30. It doesn't start to almost 9. So that, you know, that's neither here nor there. But that's how you respond if you're Wimby. That's how you come out. You make a statement. You show the world why you feel that you're the MVP, or you know that you're the MVP. But no, that was an outstanding performance by him. The second leading scorer on the team was Harper. He had 24 points. But no, that was an amazing performance by Wimby. And as far as OKC goes in game one, SGA did have 24 points and 12 assists, followed by Jamal Williams. He had 26 points. So, but that was not enough. Again, it did go to double overtime. So that was a fantastic game, a thriller, and really just set the tone for the series. So then we fast forward to game two, where OKC comes in response. And this is a similar type of score for game one. OKC won this one 122-113. Now, SGA in this one, he had 30 points in this game. So six more points than he did in the first game. But he went 30 points in this one. Second leading scorer on the team came from Alex Caruso with 17 points off the bench, which is huge. And I say that because really, if you take a step back and you look at game one, they didn't really get a lot of production off. Well, I lied, because game one, all of the production off of the bench came from Alex Caruso, who had 31 points. So he lit it up off of the bench, but he was the only player off the bench who actually put up a great performance. And 8 of 14 from the 3-point line. He was balling. Caruso did his thing in game one, coming off the bench. But again, he was the only one. Now you would assume that a player giving you 31 points off the bench would result in a victory, but it didn't. But again, Caruso, he followed up that performance in game two with 17 points off the bench and assisting and helping the squad win that game. So in this one, Wemby, he had 21 points and 17 rebounds, still a double-double, but they did hold him a little bit more in check. Well, a lot more in check, because they shaved off 20 points from what he had in the first game. So they did a better job with Wemby in this one. So, and really the Spurs didn't really get a lot of help off their bench as well. So, but the starters, the second leading scorer for the Spurs in game two, you had Vassell. He had 22 points. So, but again, it wasn't enough. OKC was hungry to get this series tied, and they did just that. Now, again, game three is actually going to be in San Antonio as the series shifts. But just early thoughts on this series, man. I think that this series has the potential, definitely the potential to go seven games, especially how we saw the first two games. I think that the Spurs, they're this is a new look Spurs team. This isn't like the old traditional fundamental basketball Spurs when we had, Greg Popovich coaching, and you had Tim Duncan and Ginobili and Tony Parker, and those guys, obviously a lot more fundamental. This is a young, speedier, flashier type of team in the San Antonio Spurs, which is exciting to see, because I just remember as a kid when the Spurs came on, it's just like, oh my god, like you really kind of didn't like I don't want to say we didn't like watching the Spurs, but they were so fundamental, there was no flash to their game, as opposed to you turn on like the Lakers or Boston or the Bulls or teams like that, when they had like younger players, or even the Cavs with LeBron, stuff like that, like a lot, speedier teams with like those flashier like superstars. But this is an exciting team to watch. And OKC obviously following up on their finals victory from last year. So, I think this series has potential to go seven games. So we'll continue to watch it. Like I said, game three is in San Antonio as the series now shifts. So let's talk about the Eastern Conference Finals, the Cavs and the New York Knicks. So the Knicks actually lead this series 2-0. They actually, in game one, this game was also a thriller as well. The Knicks actually stormed back from 22 points down in the fourth quarter. I said in the fourth quarter, which is crazy to even think about, to force an overtime, and they ultimately get the win over the Cavaliers. Now, this is one of the greatest postseason comebacks in NBA history. Again, I'm still in shock that they came down 22 points in the fourth quarter. Jalen Brunson, you know, led the way as the leading scorer of the team, 38 points. He went 7 of 10 from the free throw line, and you know, from just looking at this game and really just down the stretch, a lot of the highlights. Even if you go look at the highlights, that comeback, really when they were storming back from 22 down, all the highlights are just him cooking James Harden. Because James Harden was just a liability on defense. He couldn't keep up with them. Jalen Brunson was just literally destroying James Harden. So it's shocking. If I'm a Cavs fan, I am livid. If I was watching that game, and I'm pretty sure they're even more livid because they're down 2-0. But that doesn't mean the series is over. The Cavs were down 2-0 against Detroit, if I'm not mistaken. In the first series, in the series prior to this one, so we'll see what happens, obviously, but not looking too good at this point in time. I just wanted to highlight, you know, in that first game as well, Donovan Mitchell, he did lead the way with 29 points for the Cavs. Now, other leaders on the in the box score for both teams. Karl Anthony Towns, he had 13 rebounds. Evan Mobley, he had 14 rebounds. So again, this series started off with a bang. And then let's talk about game two that happened. The Knicks ended up winning that one 109-93. And really, this one, Josh Hart was the star of the show for this game. He had 26 points. And Karl Anthony Towns, another solid game from a rebounding perspective with 13 rebounds. And you had Jalen Brunson with 14 assists, being the facilitator that he is. And, you know, really the Knicks, they are halfway there. They are seeking to advance to their first finals appearance since 1999. If they beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, they will do that. So we have a potential, again, it's been a extremely long time for the Knicks, so we'll see what happens. Donovan Mitchell, he had 26 points in this game. Again, was not enough. The Cavs are going to have to dig deeper and find something within themselves to be able to get back into this series. But again, with the series shifting to Cleveland, they have all the opportunity in the world. We saw what happened in the series with Detroit. And then ultimately when that was that series, they actually had an opportunity to close their series out in game six, but they, again, Detroit forced the game seven, but the Cavs came out absolutely swinging in a game seven. It was lopsided. I don't even think Detroit led, at any point in the game. Maybe they led for maybe once or twice, like small leads, but the Cavs came out swinging and they just didn't look back. So again, no series is over until you get to four. So we will see. But early thoughts in this series, man. I don't know what the Cavs are gonna do, but the Knicks are just coming in really hot. I don't know what answer they're gonna have for Jalen Brunson. I don't know if James Harden is gonna be able to muster up enough energy to be able to contribute on the defensive end for them to be able to advance in this series. That's just me personally. I think this series is over? Absolutely not. But we need to see something from James Harden, but I'm not expecting a lot based off of the history of how he has performed in the playoffs, how he's performed, you know, throughout his career when it comes to the postseason. It's just not a lot of expectation there. And then now at this stage in his career, he's looking to be more of a, again, he's looking to pass. He takes his shots when they're there, and he, you know, obviously lets the game come to him, which is, that's the more of the maturity in the game at this point in his career. But I don't really know what to expect, but I'm not going to have high expectations. So we will see. But with that, before we move on, you are listening to the No Sports Talk Show right here on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audio Boom, and also on YouTube. Make sure you click that link If you're watching via YouTube, click that link and subscribe to the channel so that you can be alerted whenever I go live, whenever there's a new episode posted. And also make sure you drop your comments in the comment section below. Please, any feedback, anything you guys want me to discuss on an upcoming episode, or even just commenting on today's content, feel free to drop that in the comment section. More than happy to engage with you all. And I appreciate you all rocking with me and being supportive and patient with me, even in my longer breaks or my absence. You guys are always understanding, so I really appreciate that. Well, jumping back in, let's shift gears here to the NFL, because we do have some news that has, this is ongoing news coming out of Chicago with the Chicago Bears stadium plans. They are now, they have for some time, they've been narrowed down to suburban Illinois or Indiana to transition for their new stadium. Now, their sites are either set on Arlington Heights or, again, Hammond, Indiana. So let's talk about that. On Thursday, they did announce or continue to say that they have exhausted every opportunity that they had to stay in Chicago. Obviously, us Bears fans would have loved the Bears to stay in Chicago. For whatever reason, they were not able to make that happen with the city. There's a lot of different like legislation and different things and language that is involved in that. And I know that there was some back and forth with the governor of Illinois about some taxpayers, the dollars and the money that they need from the state to be able to, fund. Will assist in funding a new stadium project like this. So it's just been a lot of ongoing back and forth. It's really and truly exhausting for us fans. We've reached that point at this point in the year where it's like we don't care at this point. Look, I personally would love for them to stay in Illinois. I know they're not going to be in Chicago, but Arlington Heights is about 45 minutes to an hour outside of Chicago. Indiana, or Hammond, Indiana, is just over the Chicago state line, so you can still see the city. But we would any Bears fan would want them to stay in Illinois. But at this point, look, whoever is gonna get it done, please get it done. I'll continue to give you guys some more context around this stuff as well. Again, they said that there's just not a viable site in the city. And as far as the sites that are under consideration, like I say, Arlington Heights, they own land over at Arlington Heights already, which they purchased. So it only makes sense that they would utilize that space for the stadium. If they did decide to go to Hammond, Indiana, I guess they would use that facility or that area for maybe for training camp and stuff like that. But we will see. Again, the progress that's been made, there's been a lot of conversations. There's been some votes that have happened. The team president, Kevin Warren, he said last month, really in the annual league meeting that was in Arizona, that the Bears were hoping to choose a new site for a stadium late this spring or early in the summer. New updates have said that they're going to be making a decision in June or July. So in the summer, so it's not going to be in the spring. It's going to push it to the summer. Now the Bears, they played at Soldier Field for really more than half of a century. Now the Indiana lawmakers, who are really, really, really trying to lure the Bears to Indiana, they have planned to finance and build a dome stadium in Hammond. Again, this is about 25 miles away from the current home stadium on Lake Michigan, the shore. Now, the Illinois General Assembly, he did respond with the legislation that would give the tax breaks to the mega projects for at least $100 million. Now, this is a plan that would encompass the Bears proposal to build a complex on a 326-acre tract of land that they own in Arlington Heights. Again, remember I told you they already own this land in Arlington Heights, so it only makes sense that they would utilize the land that you've already purchased, what, 2 years ago? So 2 or 3 years. I want to say it was about two years ago when they purchased this land. So again, the president, he's saying that both of the sites are excellent sites. I think Arlington Heights is a better site. Again, the Bears, they are going to be making this decision soon. So we're just going to be glad that it'll be, like I said, us Bears fans will be glad when it's finally over. The Bears, they're a charter NFL franchise. Again, they played in Illinois since they were founded in 1920. They first started off as the Decatur Staleys. When they moved to Chicago in 1921, they had never owned their own stadium. They've never owned the stadium. Whether they played it when they played at Wrigley Field from 1921 to 1970 or Soldier Field since. Again, the Bears have never owned their stadium. So this is huge when we're talking about having ownership of their next stadium. So we will continue to monitor this and we'll continue to watch it closely. And yeah, hopefully in the next couple weeks we will have a decision. But fingers crossed, I'm hoping that it is in Illinois. Now, shifting gears here, let's keep it in the NFL. We did have some news coming out of Pittsburgh with Aaron Rodgers. So Aaron Rodgers has stated that he plans to retire after this season. On Wednesday, he was speaking at a press conference. I think this was after one of the practices. He said, again, this season is going to be the last season for him. Again, he has had a Hall of Fame worthy career. Even though he's tormenting my Bears for over what 50 or 60% of his time in NFL, because he obviously when he went over to you know other organizations, but he's tormented the Bears for so long. But he did say yes, this is it when he was asked. Again, he's a four-time NFL MVP. He did recently sign a one-year contract for $25 million with the Steelers. I actually was surprised because I thought that this would have they wouldn't have signed him back. But really, the reason why is with the hiring of Mike McCarthy in Pittsburgh is what sparked this. Obviously, because we know he spent 13 seasons in Green Bay. With the Packers, so and a lot of time with Aaron Rodgers as well. So there was already a relationship there, so it makes sense. Aaron Rodgers, he's entering in his 22nd NFL season, and he's ranked in the top seven in most of the major quarterback or QB categories. Only Peyton Manning, who has had five only Peyton Manning has won more NFL MVP awards than Rodgers. So he has five and Rodgers has four. So just let's just look at some of the statistics for his Hall of Fame career at this point. So passing yards, he actually ranks fifth with 66,274 passing yards. Obviously, he's going to add some more onto that. Passing touchdowns, 527. He ranks fourth. 163 wins, he ranks sixth in QB wins. QB starts, he ranks fifth with 257. Completions, he ranks seventh with 5,696 completions. And he ranks sixth in pass attempts with 8,743. Now, obviously, he's going to move up on in some of these categories on this list. Well, really, depending on, you know, obviously how long he's out there. But he actually even mentioned, look, he thought his career was over after Mike Tomlin stepped down. He wasn't fired, but after he resigned, you know, he said, look, he with him stepping away, I thought that this was it for me. I thought I was done in Pittsburgh. But when they did make the decision to bring Mark McCarthy over, that is when he had an open mind when with coming back. He did say that he suggested that their general manager consider McCarthy as a potential candidate. So, of course, their general manager, Aaron Rodgers, says this, he's going to jump because obviously they want Aaron Rodgers to finish his career as a Steeler. They want him another year. So when Aaron Rodgers mentioned it, they went out and made it happen. Aaron Rodgers, look, he said that, look, he's encouraged for him to come in. You know, he was like, look, he always thought about, you know, when the conversation sparked before he was ultimately hired. He said, look, it'd be really interesting, you know, to come back and play with Mike McCarthy. So he does get that opportunity. Here's my thoughts on this. You know, I really and truly think, you know, I thought Aaron Rodgers should have retired 2 years ago. When he went to the Jets, I mean, even getting hurt, I want to say, was in preseason, he like tore his ACL on the first drive or something like, yeah, I think it was his ACL or his ankle. It was something, yeah, I want to say it was the ACL that he tore after he got hit. And they went forward on fourth down. And it just did not, you know, make sense for me, you know, in my opinion, for him to continue to come back and play. What more do you have to prove? He has a Super Bowl, you know, even despite him, he should have probably had more appearances with the teams that he's had. but, you know, I just don't think there's anything left to prove. I think that the Steelers are making a huge mistake by continuing to invest their time in Aaron Rodgers. It's time to let this go. Give one of these other younger quarterbacks an opportunity. Again, you're not going to win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. That's just the fact of the matter. I guess they just want to host his farewell tour or whatever it is, but there is no logical reason for them to continue to try to invest in Aaron Rodgers. He's at that stage in his career where he just does not have enough in the tank to be able to get you to the Super Bowl. You know, the Steelers, obviously, they've made some moves. They brought in, you know, some pieces and things like that. But I just, you know, think that them waiting all in the offseason and waiting to hear a decision from him was just, I just did not think that was just a smart thing. So we'll see. You know, what happens, they made it to the wild card last year. That was cool, but ultimately we saw what happened there. So I just think that, again, it's time to just go ahead and move into another direction. But him being there, he'll have an opportunity to mentor the younger guys. I know they have Drew Aller, you know, from Penn State there. Not really high on Drew Aller, to be honest with you, but you never know. You know, you can learn some things from Aaron Rodgers, and you know, ultimately we'll see who ends up being that next person in line after he's gone, or maybe if they sit him down some point in this season and give some, depending on what their season is looking like, and giving somebody else an opportunity. So again, we will see what happens there. But oh, I forgot to mention this too, because I know that the NFL draft and everything happened. When I was talking about my Bears, man, I want to say, man, I'm excited about the. I mean, this was a really good draft, by the way. A lot of teams stacked across the board. I love what my Bears did, bringing in Dylan Thieneman from Oregon, coming in as a safety. Really, really love that pickup. I like Muhammad, the cornerback that we got out of Texas. I love, you know, what the Bears did. You know, obviously, you know, we addressed some things on the line as well. But I think that, you know, what they've done in the offseason, you know, obviously I don't go through all of the draft picks, but what the Bears brought in, I'm excited about it. I am looking forward to seeing the guys come together, even with us getting younger and faster, and that speed is what's going to help take us over the top. So even, you know, bringing in some shifty guys that can contribute on the offensive side, but we were desperate at safety. We addressed linebacker, did get some guys coming on the line, got a younger center that we drafted. So just look, I trust Ben Johnson, and I'm excited about this year. So I wanted to say that, wanted to take a step back, had to shout out my Bears on the draft that they did, because definitely brought in, obviously I didn't name all of the players that we drafted, but we're looking good. We're looking good. But with that, again, let me stop and again say you are listening to the No Sports Talk Show right here on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audio Boom, and yes, of course, you're listening on YouTube. Please make sure you hit that subscribe button below so that you can be notified and alerted whenever an episode goes live. Whenever I, you know, post a new show, you will be alerted. And again, please feel free to jump in the comments, give your thoughts, give your opinions, suggestions, anything, any feedback, whatever it may be. Please jump in and let me know. I am excited to engage with you guys. And again, I appreciate everybody who's continued to rock with me on this journey. So let's continue to press on and let's talk about the talks and the discussions around a college football expansion. So as we all know, the NCAA tournament has decided to stretch to 76 teams, which I think is really crazy to do. I really and truly don't understand why the NCAA tournament is 76. It's 76 games that they stretched to. So, you know, I just don't get it. Why do they need that many teams? Why do we need this many games? Like, I really don't agree with that. Again, it's not 76 games, 76 teams. So I misspoke, but yeah, I don't get that. I just think that it's unnecessary for them to do that. Now there's some reasons behind it, obviously, but I just, we don't need it in college basketball. But I just said all that to say, because that's transitioning into the talks around a college football expansion. Now, again, this is going to change the fans' experience as a whole, because filling out a bracket is going to be insane. Again, it's going to take a lot of time. I mean, it would get to the point where it's just like, look, I'm filling it out and I'll be done with it, because who wants to spend that many that much time looking at a bracket? Obviously, it's going to extend the tournament well beyond, you know, what it normally is. My only ask is, can they stop putting the national championship on a Monday? I really and truly would appreciate if they would stop doing that. I know you all would, too. I just think it's dumb with basketball and college football to have their national championship games played on a Monday. You have Saturday where you can play the national championship. You got Sunday. Look, you can pick, you know, other days. You don't have, during the week, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Look, even Friday, well, maybe not Friday, but look, Saturday, Sunday, just pick one. I know the NFL and I know all that's going on, but look, listen, something has to be worked out. But, again, really, this is going to change the March Madness experience. But what we're going to do now is we're going to talk about the 2014 playoff, because this is leading into this discussion, because we know that happened in college basketball. So now the conversation is still ongoing for a 2014 college football playoff expansion. So again, none of us asked for this. There's been a lot of negative reactions, rightfully so. I just don't really get why we need to go to 24. I mean, it is what it is for me. But I think that really this is just opening the door for those teams that have like three or four losses to be able to get in the playoff. And it's like, what for what? What do we need that for? I just don't understand it. Again, this is going to change things across the board. Again, it's going to, you know, with conferences, well, conference championships, excuse me, it's going to ultimately get rid of the conference championships. So, again, just to provide some more context around that. So the conferences, they have these spring meetings, obviously, that went on. They're continuing to have meetings and stuff like that. And they're, again, moving closer and closer to this decision. Again, there are some implications that a switch would have to 24 teams. So I want to be able to talk about that. So really, this is going to double the size of the playoff. Again, we're at 12 right now. And now they're talking about 24. Even if they went to like 16, you know, that'd be cool. But 24 is just crazy to me. Again, this is going to eliminate conference championship games. It's going to allow for no automatic qualifiers. And this is aside from having one spot reserved for a group of six teams. So, again, they have proposed, well, there's a proposal for a expansion to 16 teams first before this 24 playoff expansion happens. But, again, there's a lot of reasons that a lot of these executives, well, not even really executives, a lot of the athletic directors have expressed for why college football must expand its access so quickly. And that's because to summarize it up, they need money. So the college sports industry is hurting for money right now. And the reason being is because the athletic directors are saying, so they're saying, since we're finally paying players, and since we're doing so while continuing to allow coaches' salaries and buyouts to rapidly escalate, athletic directors, they're desperate to increase revenue wherever possible. So with the NIL, with the emergence of that, with them being able to the pay to play now, a lot of money is being poured into these younger athletes. You know, a lot of money is being poured into these coaches. And again, there's no structure around NIL. And ultimately, this is the type of repercussions that we get when there is no clear outline, no clear framework. It's just, hey, here's NIL. You guys do it however you want. And then we got players that have not even earned or proven anything getting millions of dollars. For whatever reason, I still don't know. We're luring players to play. Who have not even earned the right to you know, get the type of money that they're demanding. Am I against players getting paid? Absolutely not. But what I am against is players feeling like they're entitled to millions and millions of dollars when you just have not even put in the work, the necessary work that it takes to even stand on something like that and say that look, here's my track record and what I've done. You got guys coming out of high school demanding, you know, crazy money. You go 1 year in college and now you're demanding this crazy money like that. And they're going to schools where they obviously wouldn't normally have gone to with the NIL in the play, which is it's fine. But again, there's no structure to it. We have to get something in place. Ultimately, we're going to run into situations like this where they're like, well, look, if we're paying all this money to players, if we're paying all this money to coaches, let's going to just continue to expand it. And then we're going to look up one day and it's going to be 50 to 60 plus teams in a college football playoff. And nobody wants to see that. That's just excessive. It's unnecessary. 24 is unnecessary as it is to even talk like that. So I think 16 at most. But going to 24 is just it's ridiculous. So, you know, it is, you know, again, it's ultimately heading in that direction. So there's not much we can do if there's, you know, voting that's heading in that direction, obviously. But we will see. There's already been, you know, some changes within different conferences and now college football as a whole. Again, it's starting to go downhill if they don't get control of this. So we'll see what happens. We'll continue to monitor it. But that's all I have for y'all. Man, I really appreciate you guys again rocking with me like y'all always do. Again, I know that I was away for a while, but I am back. I promise. just again had to get some stuff in order. Like always, man, a lot of things moving fast, but no excuses to be made. We are back. We are rocking and rolling. And again, I couldn't be more appreciative of everybody for you guys continuing to support me the way that you do. I will be back next week. We'll continue to talk about the NBA playoffs, who our finals matchup is going to be. Maybe we'll have a answer for that. Well, we should have an answer for that by the time we meet again. And I'm looking forward to continuing to further these conversations with you guys. So, again, be blessed. Be safe. Again, this weather, especially if you're in Atlanta, weather's going to be crazy this weekend and heading into next week. So be safe. Y'all enjoy the weekend. Enjoy a long weekend. Happy Memorial Day to everybody. And look, we'll be back to do it all again. So peace, blessings, and I'm out.